white, a shield appears with the initials WB and the inscription Warner Brothers Pictures Presents. Titles appear over a map of Africa. Humphrey Bogart as Rick Blaine, Ingrid Bergman as Ilsa Lund Laszlo, and Paul Henreid as Victor Laszlo in Casablanca. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Jason Cahill, read by Madge Kaplan. Funding provided by the U.S. Department of Education. More titles with Claude Rains, Conrad Veidt, Sidney Greenstreet, and Peter Lorre. Also starring S.K. Sakal, Madeline LeBeau, and Dooley Wilson. Screenplay by Julius J. and Philip G. Epstein and Howard Koch. From a play by Murray Burnett and Joan Allison. Musical director Leo F. Forbstein. Music by Max Steiner. A How B. Wallace production. Directed by Michael Curtiz. Now the map is replaced by a spinning model globe.
With the coming of the Second World War, many eyes in imprisoned Europe turned hopefully or desperately toward the freedom of the Americas. Lisbon became the great embarkation point, but not everybody could get to Lisbon directly, and so a tortuous roundabout refugee trail sprang up. Paris to Marseille.
A thick black line runs down a map of France from Paris to the southern shore.
Across the Mediterranean to Oran.
The line turns white and dotted. It curves southeast and lands on the coast of Algeria.
Then by train or auto or foot across the rim of Africa to Casablanca in French Morocco. Here the fortunate ones, through money or influence or luck, might obtain exit visas and scurry to Lisbon. And from Lisbon to the New World. But the others wait in Casablanca. And wait. And wait. And wait.
We see a market crowded with veiled women and street vendors in cloaks and turbans. Now, a French policeman rips a telegram from a machine and turns on a microphone.
To all officers, two German couriers carrying important official documents, murdered on train from Oran. Murderer and possible accomplices headed for Casablanca. Round up all suspicious characters and search them for stolen document. Important.
At the market, a car full of black-capped French police careens down the narrow dirt streets. The market people scramble out of its way. Immediately, the police round up a series of thin, sharply dressed men, most wearing Western suits and snap-brimmed fedoras. A few try to escape, but are quickly caught and dragged into a long bus with wire-grated windows. Two Moroccan police, wearing tall, conical fezes, confront a man hiding his face in a storefront.
May I see your papers?
I don't think I have them on me.
In that case, we'll have to ask you to come along.
Wait, it's possible that yes. Here they are.
He hands over his papers with a nervous smile.
These papers expired 3 weeks ago. You have to come along.
Halt!
The man sprints away.
Halt!
The police shoot him in the back. The man topples in front of a huge wall mural of Marshal Pétain, a uniformed older man with a bushy white mustache. The police rifle through the dead man's pockets and pull out a flyer with a symbol of a double cross and the words Free France. Meanwhile, the French police herd a group of suspects into their station. A couple watches from a nearby cafe.
What's going on there?
I don't know, my dear.
Pardon, monsieur. Pardon, madame. Have you not heard?
We hear very little, and we understand even less.
Two German couriers were found murdered in the desert, the unoccupied desert. This is the customary roundup of refugees, liberals, and, of course, a beautiful young girl for monsieur Renault, the prefect of police.
The thin, slick-haired Frenchman sits down with the tourist couple.
Unfortunately, along with these unhappy refugees, the scum of Europe has gravitated to Casablanca. Some of them have been waiting years for a visa. I beg of you, monsieur, watch yourself. Be on guard. This place is full of vultures, vultures everywhere. Everywhere.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. Au revoir, monsieur. Au revoir, madame.
Au revoir. Amusing little fellow. Waiter.
He fills his pockets.
How silly of me.
Oh, dear.
I left my wallet at the hotel.
A suspicious frown erases his smile. The Frenchman has disappeared. Now, a single prop plane passes over the city. The crowd outside the police station gazes at it in rows of weathered, somber, uplifted faces.
Perhaps tomorrow we'll be on the plane.
A young couple looks up hopefully. The plane passes over a sign reading Rick's Café Américain. It lands on an airstrip and taxis to a stop in front of a waiting honor guard of German officers, Moroccan soldiers, and French police. A tall, severe-faced German major with a thin gray mustache exits the plane. The Germans raise their right hands.
It is very good to see you again, Major Strasser.
Thank you, thank you.
May I present Captain Renault, Police Protector Casablanca, Major Strasser.
An occupied France welcomes you to Casablanca.
Thank you, Captain. It's very good to be here.
Major Strasser, my aide, Lieutenant Cassel.
Captain Torelli, the Italian staff is at your command, Major.
Kind of you.
Strasser rushes past the Italian officer, who argues with Captain Renault's aide.
You may find the climate of Casablanca a trifle warm, Major.
Oh, we Germans must get used to all climates, from Russia to the Sahara. But perhaps you were not referring to the weather.
What else, my dear Major?
By the way, the murder of the couriers, what has been done?
Well, realizing the importance of the case, my men are rounding up twice the usual number of suspects.
We know already who the murderer is.
Good. Is he in custody?
Oh, there's no hurry. It's a night he'll be at Rick's. Everybody comes to Rick's.
I have already heard about this cafe, and also about Mr. Rick himself.
Nighttime. A searchlight glides past the front door of Rick's Cafe.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I've wandered around and finally found somebody who...
A doorman bows at the club's entrance. Inside its arching white walls, a band plays on a platform. Tables are filled with sharply dressed European couples. Soldiers, natives, and policemen. The air is thick with smoke from hookahs and cigarettes. A black man wearing a natty silk suit plays the piano, smiles, and sings over his shoulder.
Oh, nobody else, give me a thrill, honey, with all your balls. I love you, still have to be you. Wonderful, you had to be you.
Our view skips from table to table. First, a man gripping a drink with a desperate, faraway stare.
Waiting, waiting, waiting. I'll never get out of here. I'll die in Casablanca.
But can't you make it just a little more, please?
Sorry, madame, but diamonds are a drug on the market. Everybody sells diamonds. There are diamonds everywhere. 2,400.
All right.
The props are ready. The men are waiting. Everything is gone.
Two men fall silent as German soldiers pass their table.
It's the fishing smack Santiago. It leaves at 1 tomorrow night. Here from Vienda La Medina. Third boat.
Thank you, thank you.
And bring 15,000 francs in cash. Remember, in cash.
Our view glides past two Chinese men to a bartender serving up a drink.
Let's go. Take that now.
Cheerio.
Cheerio.
Yes, sir, professor.
The head waiter, a stout elderly man with spectacles, enters a private gambling room with a tray of drinks. A woman at a card table smiles up at him.
Waiter.
Yes, madam.
Will you ask Rick if he'll have a drink with us?
Madam, he never drinks with customers. Never. I have never seen it.
What makes saloon keepers so snobbish?
Perhaps if you told him I ran the second largest banking house in Amsterdam. Second largest? That wouldn't impress Rick. The leading banker in Amsterdam is now the pastry chef in our kitchen. We have something to look forward to. And his father is the bellboy.
At another table, a waiter presents a credit slip to a man playing chess with himself. The man authorizes it with the signature, OK, Rick. Our view rises to Rick's face. He has deep, melancholy eyes, slick black hair, and a hard-set upper lip cleft by a scar. His face twitches as he draws keenly on a cigarette. He nods at the doorman who lets a Moroccan couple enter the gambling room. Next, a tuxedoed man approaches. The doorman stops him.
Excuse me.
Rick glances at the man, then shakes his head.
I'm sorry, sir. This is a private room.
Of all the nerve. Who do you think? I know there is gambling in there. There is no secret. You dare not kick me out of here.
Yes, what's the trouble?
These gentlemen...
I have been in every gambling room between Honolulu and Berlin. And if you think I'm going to be kept out of a saloon like this, you're very much mistaken.
Excuse me, please.
Hello,
Rick tears the man's name card in half.
Your cash is good at the bar.
What? Do you know who I am?
I do. You're lucky the bar's open to you.
This is outrageous. I shall report it to the angry.
Rick turns and walks away from the door.
You know, Rick, watching you just now with the Deutsche Bank, one would think you've been doing this all your life.
Well, what makes you think I haven't?
Oh, nothing. But when you first came to Casablanca, I thought...
You thought what?
What right do I have to think?
The short, baleful-eyed man smiles quizzily and follows Rick to his table.
May I?
Rick concentrates on his chess.
Too bad about those two German couriers, wasn't it?
I got a lucky break. Yesterday, there were just two German clerks. Today, they honored dead.
You are a very cynical person, Rick.
If you forgive me for saying so.
I forgive you.
Thank you. Will you have a drink with me, please?
No.
Oh, I forgot you never drink with anything. I'll have another, please.
Yes, monsieur.
You despise me, don't you?
Well, if I gave you any thought, I probably would.
But why?
Oh, you object to the kind of business I do, huh?
But think of all those poor refugees who must rot in this place if I didn't help them. Well, that's not so bad. Through ways of my own, I provide them with exit visas.
For a price, Ugarte. For a price.
But think of all the poor devils who can't meet to a nose price. Oh, I get it for them for half.
Is that so parasitic? I don't mind a parasite. I object to a cut-rate one.
Well, Rick, after tonight, I'll be through with the whole business, and I'm leaving, finally, this Casablanca.
Who's bribed for your visa? Renault or yourself?
Myself. Found myself much more reasonable. Look, Rick. You know what this is? Something that even you have never seen. Letters of transit signed by General Degon. Cannot be rescinded. Not even questioned. One moment. Tonight I'll be selling those for more money than even I have ever dreamed of. And then, adio, Casablanca. You know, Rick, I have many a friend in Casablanca, but somehow, just because you despise me, you are the only one I trust. Will you keep these for me, please?
For how long?
Oh, perhaps an hour, perhaps a little longer.
I don't want them here overnight.
Don't be afraid of that. Please keep them for me. Thank you. I knew I could trust you.
Waiter, I'll be expecting some people. If anybody asks for me, I'll be right here.
Yes, monsieur.
Rick, I hope you are more impressed with me now. If you'll forgive me, I'll share my good luck with your Latvian.
Just a moment.
Rick stands up and stares at Ugarte.
Hey, I heard a rumor those two German couriers were carrying letters of transit.
Huh? Oh, I've heard that rumor too. Poor devils.
Yes, you're right, Ugarte. I am a little more impressed with you.
Rick looks him up and down, smiles bitterly, and walks away. In the main room, a spotlight shines on the piano player.
Say, who's got trouble?
We got trouble.
How much trouble?
Too much trouble.
Well, now, don't you bow. Just knuckle down and knock on wood. Who's unhappy?
We're unhappy.
How unhappy?
Rick approaches the piano. As the spotlight leaves him, he lifts a stack of music and slips the letters of transit into the piano casing.
How unlucky?
No unlucky.
But your luck will change if you'll arrange to knock on wood. Who's got nothing? How much nothing?
A large man wearing a white suit and a Panama hat enters, gives a Muslim sign of greeting to two Moroccan merchants and sits down.
Now who's happy?
We're happy.
Just how happy?
Very happy.
The large man grins and raises his eyebrows at Rick. Rick nods and gives him a grudging smile.
Now who's lucky?
We're all lucky.
Just how lucky?
Very lucky.
Well, smile up then, and once again, let's knock on.
The piano player stands up and bows. The large man approaches Rick.
Hello, Rick.
Hello, Ferrari. How's business at the Blue Parrot?
Fine, but I'd like to buy your cafe.
It's not for sale.
Haven't heard my offer.
It's not for sale at any price.
What do you want for Sam?
I don't buy or sell human beings.
Too bad that's Casablanca's leading commodity. Refugees alone, we can make a fortune. You'd work with me through the black market.
Suppose you run your business and let me run mine.
Suppose we ask Sam. Maybe he'd like to make a change.
Suppose we do.
My dear Rick, when will you realize that in this world today, isolationism is no longer a practical policy?
Sam Ferrari wants you to work for him at the Blue Parrot.
Oh, I like it fine, yeah.
You'll double what I pay you.
Yeah, but I ain't got time to spend the money I make here.
So Sorry.
Ferrari shrugs. Sam keeps frowns in surprise, then looks at his keyboard and sadly shakes his head. The woman's gaze falters. She has wavy, light brown hair, smooth features, lustrous skin, and dark, wary eyes. A man at the bar stares at the couple as they sit down.
Two Cointreaux, please.
Herbeshire?
I saw no one of Ogata's description.
Victor, I feel somehow we shouldn't stay here.
If you would walk out so soon, it would only call attention to us. Perhaps Ogata's in some other part of the cafe.
The man from the bar.
Excuse me, but you look like a couple who are on their way to America.
Well?
You'll find a market there for this ring. I'm forced to sell it at a great sacrifice.
Thank you, but I hardly think.
Then perhaps for the lady, the ring is quite unique.
On the ring, the double cross symbol.
Oh, yes, I'm very interested.
Good.
What is your name?
Berger, Norwegian, and at your service, sir.
Victor.
I'll meet you in a few minutes at the bar. No, I don't think we want to buy the ring, but thank you for showing it to us.
Such a bargain. But that is your decision?
I'm sorry it is.
Berger leaves as Renault approaches.
Mr. Laszlo, is it not?
Yes.
I am Captain Renault, Prefect of Police.
Yes, what is it you want?
Merely to welcome you to Casablanca and to wish you a pleasant stay. It isn't often we have so distinguished a visitor.
Thank you. I hope you'll forgive me, Captain. The present French administration hasn't always been so cordial.
May I present Miss Ilse Lant?
Ilse bows her head slightly.
I was informed you were the most beautiful woman ever to visit Casablanca. That was a gross understatement.
You're very kind.
Won't you join us?
If you will permit me. Oh, no, Emil, please, a bottle of your best champagne and put it on my bill.
Very well, sir.
Captain, please.
Oh, please, monsieur, it is a little game we play. They put it on the bill, I tear up the bill. It is very convenient.
Captain, the boy was playing the piano. Somewhere I've seen him.
Sam?
Yes.
He came from Paris with Rick.
Rick, who's he?
Mademoiselle, you're in Rick's. And Rick is,
Is what?
Well, mademoiselle, he's the kind of man that... Well, if I were a woman and I were not around, I should be in love with Rick. But what a fool I am talking to a beautiful woman about another man. Excuse me. Ah, Major.
Strasser approaches.
Mademoiselle Lund and Monsieur Leslie, may I present Major Heinrich Strasser?
How do you do? This is a pleasure I have long looked forward to.
I'm sure you'll excuse me if I'm not gracious. But you see, Major Strasser, I'm a Czechoslovakian.
You were a Czechoslovakian. Now you are a subject of the German Reich.
Victor stands up.
I've never accepted that privilege, and I'm now on French soil.
I should like to discuss some matters arising from your presence on French soil.
This is hardly the time or the place.
Then we shall state another time and another place tomorrow at 10 in the prefect's office. With mademoiselle.
Captain Renault, I'm under your authority. Is it your order that we come to your office?
Let us say it is my request. That is a much more pleasant word.
Very well.
Mademoiselle?
Mademoiselle.
Strasser and Renault walk away.
A very clever tactical retreat, Major.
This time they really mean to stop me.
Victor, I'm afraid for you.
We've been in difficult places before, haven't we?
He takes her hand. On stage, a woman in a Spanish dress strums a guitar. Renault watches Victor, then whispers in Major Strasser's ear. The Major nods. Victor shoots them a quick, nervous glance. At the bar, Berger's eyes are fixed on Victor, who leans close to Ilse.
I must find out what Berger knows.
Be careful.
I will. Don't worry.
He leaves the table. Ilse turns her head and cautiously scans the club, her graceful curved nose and chin in shadowy profile. Sam looks back. Ilse stares directly at him, almost smiling. Sam turns away. Victor approaches the bar.
Monsieur Berger, the ring, could I see it again?
Yes, monsieur.
A champagne cocktail, please.
I recognize you from the news photographs, monsieur Lasson.
The concentration camp one is up to lose a little weight.
We read five times that you were killed in five different places.
Yes, you see, it was true every single time. Thank heaven I found you, Berger. I'm looking for a man by the name of Ugarte. He's supposed to help me.
Ugarte cannot even help himself, monsieur. He's under arrest for murder. He's arrested here tonight.
I see.
But we who are still free will do all we can. They're organized, monsieur, underground like everywhere else. Tomorrow night there's a meeting at the Cavern du Roi. if you will come.
A waiter interrupts them. Our view shifts to the Spanish-dressed woman in the spotlight. She spreads her arms and smiles. Ilsa turns to a waiter.
Would you ask the piano player to come over here, please?
Very well, mademoiselle.
Renaud takes a seat at the bar.
How's the jewelry business, Berger?
Not so good. May I have my check, please?
Too bad you weren't here earlier, Monsieur Laszlo. We had quite a bit of excitement this evening, didn't we, Berger?
Yes. Excuse me, gentlemen.
And my bill?
No. Two champagne cocktails, please.
Yes.
Renaud smiles. Sam wheels his piano to Ilsa's table.
Hello, Sam.
Hello, Miss Ilsa. I never expect to see you again.
It's been a long time.
Yes, ma'am. A lot of water under the bridge.
Some of the old songs, Sam.
Yes, ma'am.
Sam looks up absently at the ceiling. Ilsa fixes her gaze on him.
Where is Rick?
I don't know. I ain't seen him all night.
When will he be back?
Not tonight no more. He ain't coming. He went home.
Does he always leave so early?
Oh, he never. Well, he's got a girl up to the Blue Parrot. He goes up there all the time.
Ilsa smiles to herself.
You used to be a much better liar, sir.
Leave him alone, Miss Ilsa. You bad luck tonight.
Her smile falters briefly.
Play it once, Sam. For all time's sake.
I don't know what you mean, Miss Ilsa.
Play it, Sam. Play as time goes by.
Oh, I can't remember it, Miss Ilsa. I'm a little rusty on it.
I'll hum it for you. Sing it, Sam.
You must remember this. A kiss is just a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by.
Ilsa lowers her head slightly and looks aside. She stares into space, lips parted, her eyes frozen and unblinking, deep in remembrance.
I love you. On that you can rely.
Rick breaks out of his office, scowling and blinking in disbelief. He heads for the piano.
As time goes by.
Sam, I thought I told you never to play.
He sees Ilsa. Rick's face is paralyzed. His lips tremble in a pained, gruesome parody of a smile. Ilsa's eyes glisten.
Well, you were asking about Rick, and here he is. Mademoiselle, may I present...
Hello, Rick.
Oh, you've already met Rick, mademoiselle. Well, then, perhaps you also...
This is Mr. Laszlo.
How do you do? How do you do? Well, here's a great deal about Rick in Casablanca. And about Victor Laszlo everywhere. Won't you join us for a drink?
Oh, no, Rick, never.
Thanks, I will.
Well, a precedent is being broken. Emil?
They sit down.
This is a very interesting cafe. I congratulate you. I congratulate you. What for? Your work? Thank you. I try. We all try. You succeed.
I can't get over you two. She was asking about you earlier, Rick, in a way that made me extremely jealous.
I wasn't sure you were the same. Let's see, the last time we met...
was La Bella Roar.
Ilsa beams.
How nice you remembered. But of course that was the day the Germans marched into Paris.
Not an easy day to forget.
No.
I remember every detail. The Germans wore gray. You wore blue.
Yes, I put that dress away. When the Germans march out, I'll wear it again.
Ricky, you're becoming quite human. I suppose we have to thank you for that, mademoiselle.
Ilsa, I don't wish to be the one to say it, but it's late.
So it is. And we have a curfew here in Casablanca. It would never do for the chief of police to be found drinking after hours and have to fine himself.
I hope you never say you're welcome.
Not at all.
Your check, sir.
Oh, let me
My party.
Another president gone. This has been a very interesting evening. I'll call you a cab. Gasoline rationing, time of night.
He'll come again. Anytime.
Say goodnight to Sam for me.
I will.
There's still nobody in the world who can play as time goes by like Sam.
He hasn't played it in a long time.
Good night.
Good night.
Night.
Rick sits down and fingers an ashtray, his eyes overshadowed by a darkening brow. Victor and Ilsa step outside.
Very puzzling fellow, this Rick. What sort is he?
Oh, I really can't say, though. I saw him quite often in Paris.
Tomorrow at 10 at the prefect's office.
We'll be there.
Good night.
Good night.
Ilsa and Victor step into a cab. As it pulls away, we see Renault standing behind it, puffing thoughtfully on a cigarette. The passing searchlight illuminates his narrow-eyed face, wreathed in smoke. Later, the last car pulls away from the cafe. The lights in the window fade. The neon sign above the door blinks off. Inside, Rick sits alone at a shadowy table, shoulders slumped, his face creased with anguish. He pours a glassful of whiskey and swallows it down. Behind him, Sam takes off his hat and approaches.
Boss? Boss?
Yeah?
Boss, ain't you going to bed?
Not right now.
Ain't you planning on going to bed in the near future?
No.
You ever going to bed?
No.
Well, I ain't sleepy either.
Good, now have a drink.
No, not me, boss.
Don't have a drink.
Boss, let's get out of here.
No, sir. I'm waiting for a lady.
Please, boss, let's go. Ain't nothing but trouble for you here.
She's coming back. I know she's coming back.
We'll take the car and drive all night. We'll get drunk. We'll go fishing and stay away until she's gone.
Shut up and go home, will you?
No, sir. I'm staying right here.
Sam wheels over the piano. Rick takes another swig.
I grab Ugatti, then she walks in. Well, where it goes. One in, one out. Sam.
Yes, boss.
This December 1941 in Casablanca. What time is it in New York?
What? My watch stopped.
I bet they're asleep in New York. I bet they're asleep all over America.
He slams his fist, grimaces in pain, then looks up.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
He covers his eyes. The gleam of the searchlight filters through the windows.
What's that you're playing?
Oh, just a little something on my own.
Oh, stop it. You know what I want to hear.
No, I don't.
You played it for her, you play it for me.
Well, I don't think I can remember.
If she can stand it, I can. Play it.
Yes, boss.
Glass with his palms, Rick stares into space over the whiskey bottle. He starts to say something, then shuts his mouth and bows his head. His white tuxedo jacket is rumpled. His eyes glisten in the dim light. Picking up the stub of a cigarette, he inhales deeply and lets the smoke drift out of his nose and mouth. The scene blurs and changes to the Arc de Triomphe in Paris. A flashback to Rick and Ilsa driving down the Champs-Élysées. Rick wears a wide grin. The wind tugs at Ilsa's hair and scarf. She beams at Rick as the scenery behind the car changes to a country road. Rick puts his arm around her. She nestles in the crook of his shoulder, looks up at the sky, then closes her eyes. Later, riding on a riverboat, Rick buys a bag of peanuts from a vendor. He tosses a nut in the air. Ilsa catches it with both hands. Later, in Rick's flat, Ilsa arranges flowers in a vase. Rick pops open a bottle of champagne. Ilsa smiles and curls up next to him. Rick hands her a glass with a sly grin.
Who are you really, and what were you before? What did you do, and what did you think, huh?
We said no questions.
Here's looking at you, kid.
They drink deeply, gazing at each other. The scene changes to a dark, glittering ballroom, lit by sparkles thrown off by a mirrored ball spinning from the ceiling. Rick and Ilsa sway to and fro on the dance floor. He wears a black tuxedo, she a lace-trimmed white dress. Gently, she rests her forehead on his cheek, then leans back and looks warmly into his eyes. Nighttime at Rick's flat. Rick sits on a sofa, deep in thought. Ilsa, wearing a satin nightgown, smiles and tosses a coin at him.
thank for your thoughts.
In America, they bring only a penny. I guess that's about all they're worth.
Well, I'm willing to be overcharged. Tell me.
Well, I was wondering.
Yes.
Why I'm so lucky, why I should find you waiting for me to come along.
Why, there is no other man in my life.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's easy. There was.
Her smile falls.
He's dead.
I'm sorry for asking. I forgot we said no questions.
Well, only one answer can take care of all our questions.
They kiss passionately. The scene dissolves. Now we see footage of Nazi infantry marching across the French countryside. Tanks marked with the Iron Cross roll down a road in clouds of dust. German bombers zoom overhead. Back in Paris, vendors hand out papers to a frantic crowd. Sitting at an outdoor cafe, Rick and Ilsa scan the headlines nervously. Two loudspeakers are mounted on top of a nearby truck.
Ici, Stuttgart, Allemagne. Français, Parisiens. Les troupes françaises ont abandonné leur position. Les Allemands seront demain dans la capitale.
Nothing can stop them now. Wednesday, Thursday at the latest, they'll be in Paris.
Richard, they'll find out your record. It won't be safe for you here.
I'm on the blacklist already. Their roll of honor.
Now, we see a stencil on a cafe window. It reads La Belle Aurore. Inside, Sam plays the piano. Ilsa leans on it with a pensive look.
Jealousy and hate. Woman needs man, and man must have his mate that no one can deny.
Rick approaches with a bottle of champagne and pours three glasses.
Story, a fight for love and glory, a case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by.
Ori wants us to finish this bottle and then three more. Says he'll water his garden with champagne before he let the Germans drink it.
This ought to take the sting out of being occupied, doesn't it, Mr. Richard?
You said it. He's looking at you, kid.
Ilsa tries to sip her champagne, but stops. Her face brightens a little as Sam lifts his glass.
Franzosen, Einwohner von Paris. Franzosen, Einwohner von Paris. Hört aufmerksam zu. Die deutschen Truppen stehen vor den Toren von Paris.
Rick and Ilsa rush to the window. Outside, a crowd of Parisians is gathered around the loudspeaker truck. Rick puffs a cigarette, then tugs his earlobe.
The Germans a little rusty.
It's the Gestapo. They say they expect to be in Paris tomorrow. They're telling us how to act when they come marching in.
She pounds the windowsill with her fist.
With the whole world crumbling, we think it's time to fall in love.
Yeah, it's pretty bad timing. Where were you, say, 10 years ago?
10 years ago. Yes, I was having a brace put on my teeth. Where were you?
Looking for a job.
She presses against him in an urgent kiss.
Is that can on fire? Or is it my heart pounding?
Well, it's a new German 77, but judging by the sound, only about 35 miles away. Well, I'm getting closer every minute. Here, drink up. We'll never finish the other three.
Germans will be here pretty soon now, and they'll come looking for you. And don't forget, there's a price on your head.
I left a note in my apartment. They'll know where to find me.
Strange. I know so very little about you.
I know very little about you. Just the fact that you had your teeth straightened.
But be serious, darling. You are in danger, and you must leave Paris.
No. We must leave.
Yes, of course, we.
Now, the train for Marseille leaves at 5 o'clock. I'll pick you up at your hotel at 4:30.
No, not at my hotel. I have things to do in the city before I leave. I'll meet you at the station.
All right, at 4:45. Say, why don't we get married in Marseille?
She smiles nervously, then looks away, her eyes brimming with tears.
That's too far ahead to plan.
Yes, I guess it is a little too far ahead. Well, let's see. What about the engineer? Why can't he marry us on the train?
Darling.
Oh, why not? The captain on the ship can. It doesn't seem fair that... Hey, what's wrong, kid?
Ilsa turns toward him, trying to shake off her tears, and strokes his chin gently.
I love you so much. And I hate this war so much. Oh, it's a crazy world. Anything can happen. If you shouldn't get away. I mean, if something should keep us apart. Wherever they put you, and wherever I'll be, I want you to know that.
Rick stops her with a kiss. Ilsa takes his hand.
Kiss me. Kiss me as if it were the last time.
They kiss again. Ilsa's hand drops to the table and knocks over her glass of champagne. The scene changes to a train station. Sheets of rain fall on a packed, struggling crowd. A clock reads 4:55. Rick, wearing a trench coat and fedora, fights his way through the crush of raincoats and umbrellas. He checks his watch with a scowl. Sam, carrying two suitcases, hurries toward Rick and drops them at his feet.
Where is she? Have you seen her?
No, Mr. Richard, I can't find her. She checked out of the hotel, but this note came just after you left.
It's ink bleeding in the rain. The note reads, "Richard, I cannot go with you or ever see you again. You must not ask why. Just believe that I love you. Go, my darling, and God bless you. Ilsa."
That's the last call, Mr. Richard. Do you hear me? Come on, Mr. Richard, let's get out of here. Come on, Mr. Richard, come on.
Sam takes Rick by the arm and pushes him toward the train. The two men step on board. Rick stands between two cars with a dazed, stricken look. Scowling, he crumples the note in his fist and tosses it on the tracks. A cloud of steam covers him as the train rolls away. Back in the present, Rick knocks over his glass of whiskey. Wearily, he tips his cigarette in an ashtray. Sam picks up a chair and sets the glass upright. The front door opens. A figure appears, glowing in the passing glare of the searchlight. Ilsa, a scarf around her head, steps inside. Rick stops on the verge of pouring himself another drink. His lips tighten in a brief, biting smile as she approaches the table.
First drink to have with you. Here.
No, Rick, not tonight.
Especially tonight.
Please.
Why did you have to come to Casablanca? There are other places.
I wouldn't have come if I'd known that you were here. Believe me, Rick, it's true. I didn't know.
Funny about your voice, how it hasn't changed. I can still hear it. Richard, dear, I'll go with you any place. We'll get on a train together and never stop.
Don't, Rick. I can understand how you feel.
You understand how I feel. How long was it we had, honey?
I didn't count the days.
Well, I did. Every one of them. Mostly I remember the last one. The wow finish. A guy standing on a station platform in the rain with a comical look in his face because his insides had been kicked out.
He takes a long sip of whiskey.
Can I tell you a story, Ricky?
You got a wow finish?
I don't know the finish yet.
Go on, tell it. Maybe one will come to you as you go along.
She stares at him seriously.
It's about a girl who had just come to Paris from her home in Oslo. At the house of some friends, she met a man about whom she had heard her whole life. A very great and courageous man. He opened up for her a whole beautiful world full of knowledge and thoughts and ideals. Everything she knew or ever became was because of him. And she looked up to him and worshipped him with a feeling she supposed was love.
Yes, it's very pretty. I heard a story once. As a matter of fact, I've heard a lot of stories in my time. They went along with the sound of a tinny piano playing in the parlor downstairs. Mister, I met a man once when I was a kid. It always begins. Well, I guess neither one of our stories is very funny. Tell me, who was it you left me for? Was it Laszlo, or were there others in between? Or aren't you the kind that tells?
A single tear drifts down Ilsa's cheek. Her jaw tightens, she closes her eyes, shakes her head, and walks out. Rick covers his face with his hands. His head sags to the table and lies still. The scene fades to black. Morning, Captain Renault's office.
I strongly suspect that you Ugarte left the letters of transit with Mr. Blaine. I would suggest you search the cafe immediately and thoroughly.
If Rick has the letters, he's much too smart to let you find them there.
You give him credit for too much cleverness. My impression was that he's just another blundering American.
We mustn't underestimate American blundering. I was with them when they blundered into Berlin in 1918.
As to Laszlo, we want him watched 24 hours a day.
It may interest you to know that at this very moment he's on his way here.
Victor and Ilsa approach the office. Nearby, a policeman rejects the visas of a young couple.
Yes, sir.
Renault bows toward Ilsa.
I'm delighted to see you both. Did you have a good night's rest?
I slept very well.
That's strange. Nobody's supposed to sleep well in Casablanca.
Maybe proceed to the business.
With pleasure. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Strasser sits across from Victor.
Very well, Laszlo, we will not mince words. You're an escaped prisoner of the Reich. So far, you have been fortunate enough in eluding us. You have reached Casablanca. It is my duty to see that you stay in Casablanca.
Whether or not you will succeed is, of course, problematic.
Not at all. Captain Renault's signature is necessary on every exit visa. Captain, would you think it is possible that Laszlo will receive a visa?
I'm afraid not. My regrets, monsieur.
Well, perhaps I shall like it in Casablanca.
And mademoiselle?
You needn't be concerned about me.
Is it all you wish to tell us?
Don't be in such a hurry. You have all the time in the world. You may be in Casablanca indefinitely. Or you may leave for Lisbon tomorrow, on one condition.
And that is?
You know the leader of the underground movement in Paris, in Prague, in Brussels, in Amsterdam, in Oslo, in Belgrade, in Athens.
Even Berlin?
Yes, even in Berlin. If you will furnish me with their names and their exact whereabouts, you will have your visa in the morning.
And the honor of having served the Third Reich.
I was in a German concentration camp for a year. That's honor enough for a lifetime.
You will give us the names?
If I didn't give them to you in a concentration camp, where you had more persuasive methods at your disposal, I certainly won't give them to you now. And what if you track down these men and kill them? What if you murdered all of us? From every corner of Europe, hundreds, thousands would rise to take our places. Even Nazis can't kill that fast.
Well, Laszlo, you have a reputation for eloquence which I can now understand, but in one respect you are mistaken. You said the enemies of the Reich could all be replaced, but there's one exception. No one could take your place in the event anything unfortunate should occur to you while you were trying to escape.
You won't dare to interfere with me here. This is still unoccupied France. Any violation of neutrality would reflect on Captain Renault.
Monsieur, insofar as it is in my power.
Thank you.
By the way, monsieur, last night you evinced an interest in Signor Ugarte.
Yes?
I believe you have a message for him.
Nothing important, but may I speak to him now?
You would find the conversation a trifle one-sided. Signor Ugarte is dead.
Ilsa blinks and looks down. Strasser studies Victor's face. Renault almost smiles.
I'm making out the report now. We haven't quite decided whether he committed suicide or died trying to escape.
Are you quite finished with us?
For the time being.
Good day.
Victor and Ilsa walk outside.
Undoubtedly, their next step will be to the black market.
Excuse me, Captain. Another visa problem has come up.
Show her in.
Yes.
Renault grins slyly and adjusts his tie in the mirror. Now, in the marketplace, a merchant looks over the passport of a tourist wearing a pith helmet.
Sorry, monsieur. We were there with the handle of the police. This is a job for Signor Ferrari.
Ferrari?
It can be most helpful to know, Signor Ferrari. He pretty has a monopoly on the black market here. You will find him over there at the Blue Parrot.
Thanks.
Inside the Blue Parrot, Moroccan men sit on the floor and smoke hookahs. Other customers sip tea or play cards. The stout Ferrari emerges from his office with the young couple from the police station.
There, don't be too downhearted. Perhaps you can come to terms with Captain Reno.
Thank you very much, Signor.
Hello, Ferrari.
Good morning, Rick.
I see the bus is in. I'll take my shipment with me.
No hurry, I'll have it sent over. Have a drink with me.
I'll have a drink in the morning, and every time you send my shipment over, it's always just a little bit short.
Carrying charges, my boy, carrying charges. Here, sit down. There's something I want to talk over with you, anyhow.
The bourbon.
News about Ugarte upsets me very much.
You're a fat hypocrite. You don't feel any sorrier for Ugarte than I do.
Of course not. What upsets me is the fact that Ugarte is dead. No one knows where those letters of transit are.
Practically no one.
I can lay my hands on those letters, I can make a fortune.
Well, so could I, and I'm a poor businessman.
I have a proposition for whoever has those letters. I'll handle the entire transaction. Get rid of the letters, take all the risk for a small percentage.
Under carrying charges?
Naturally, there'll be a few incidental expenses. That's the proposition I have for whoever has those letters.
I'll tell him when he comes in.
Rick, I'll put my cards on the table. I think you know where those letters are.
You're in good company. Renault and Strasser probably think so, too.
He looks out the window and spots Victor and Ilsa browsing at a stall in the market.
That's why I came over here, to give them a chance to ransack my place.
Rick, don't be a fool. Take me to your confidence. You need a partner.
Excuse me, I'll be getting back.
He passes Victor on his way out of the bar.
Morning.
Senor Ferrari's the fat gent at the table.
Victor walks inside. At the stall, Ilsa examines a lace tablecloth.
You will not find a treasure like this in all Morocco, mademoiselle. Only 700 francs.
You're being cheated.
Doesn't matter, thank you.
Ah, the lady's a friend of Rick's. For friends of Rick's, we have a small discount. Did I say 700 francs? You can have it for 200.
I'm sorry, I was in no condition to receive you when you called on me last night.
Doesn't matter.
Now, for special friends of Rick's, we have a special discount of 100 francs.
The story had me a little confused, Maybe it was the bourbon.
I have some tablecloths, some napkins.
Thank you. I'm really not interested.
Please, 1 minute. Please.
Why did you come back? To tell me why you ran out on me at the railway station?
Yes.
Well, you can tell me now. I'm reasonably sober.
I don't think I will, Rick.
Why not? After all, I got stuck with a railway ticket. I think I'm entitled to know.
Last night, I saw what has happened to you. The Rick I knew in Paris, I could tell him he'd understand. But the one who looked at me with such hatred... I'll be leaving Casablanca soon and we'll never see each other again. We knew very little about each other when we were in love in Paris. If we leave it that way, maybe we'll remember those days, not Casablanca. Not last night.
Did you run out on me because you couldn't take it, because you knew what it would be like? Hiding from the police, running away all the time?
You can believe that if you want to.
Well, I'm not running away anymore. I'm settled now. Above a saloon, it's true, but... walk up a flight. I'll be expecting you. All the same, someday you'll lie to Laszlo. You'll be there.
She looks him in the eye.
No, Rick. No, you see, Victor Laszlo is my husband. And was, even when I knew you in Paris.
She walks away, later with Victor in Ferrari's office.
I was just telling Monsieur Laszlo that unfortunately I'm not able to help him.
You see, my dear, the word has gone around.
As leader of all illegal activities in Casablanca, I'm an influential and respected man, but it would not be worth my life to do anything for Monsieur Laszlo. You, however, are a different matter.
Signor Ferrari thinks it might just be possible to get the next visa for you.
You mean for me to go on alone?
And only alone.
I'll stay here and keep on trying. I'm sure in a little while...
Might as well be frank, monsieur. It would take a miracle to get you out of Casablanca, and the Germans have outlawed miracles.
We are only interested in 2 visas, senor.
Please, Ilsa, don't be hasty.
No, Victor, no.
You two will want to discuss this. Excuse me, I'll be at the bar.
No, Ilsa, I won't let you stay here. You must get to America. Believe me, somehow I'll get out and join you.
Yeah. But, Victor, the situation were different. If I had to stay and there were only visa for one, would you take it?
Yes, I would.
She smiles.
Yes, I see. When I had trouble getting out of Lille, why didn't you leave me there? And when I was sick in Marseille and held you up for 2 weeks and you were in danger every minute of the time, why didn't you leave me then?
I meant to, but something always held me up. I love you very much, Ilsa.
Your secret will be safe with me. Ferrari's waiting for our answer.
Yeah.
More than 50 francs, though.
In the bar, Ferrari dismisses a waiter. Victor and Ilsa approach.
We've decided, Signor Ferrari. Our president will go on looking for 2 exit visas. Thank you very much.
Well, good luck, but be careful. You know that you're being shadowed?
Of course, it becomes an instinct.
I observe that you in one respect are a very fortunate man, monsieur. I move to make one more suggestion. Why, I do not know, because it cannot possibly profit me. But have you heard about Signor Gatti and the letters of transit?
Yes, something.
Those letters were not found on Ugarte when they arrested him.
You know where they are?
Not for sure, monsieur. But I'll venture to guess that Ugarte left those letters with Monsieur Rick.
Rick?
He's a difficult customer, that Rick. One never knows what he'll do or why, but it is worth a chance.
Thank you very much. Good day.
Goodbye. Thank you for your coffee, senor. I shall miss that when we leave Casablanca.
It's gracious of you to share it with me. Good day, monsieur. Monsieur?
Good day.
They walk out. Ferrari puts a fat cigar in his mouth and swats a fly. At Rick's, the pickpocket toasts another man at the bar.
Here's to you, sir.
Good luck.
I better be going.
My check.
I have to warn you, sir.
He filches the man's wallet.
It's full of vultures. Vultures everywhere. Thanks for everything.
Good luck.
Goodbye, sir. It has been a pleasure to meet you. I'm sorry.
On his way out, he bumps into Carl, the head waiter. Carl checks his coat pockets with a worried look, then nods to himself in relief. Major Strasser leads a line of German officers into the club. Carl delivers a bottle of bourbon to Rick's table.
Monsieur Rick, you are getting to be your best customer.
Renault approaches.
Well, drinking. I'm very pleased with you. Now you're beginning to live like a Frenchman.
There's some going over. Your man gave my place this afternoon. We just barely got cleaned up in time to open.
Well, I told Strasser he wouldn't find the letters here, but I told my men to be especially destructive. You know how that impresses Germans? Rick, have you got those letters of transit?
Louis, are you pro Vichy or free French?
Serves me right for asking a direct question. The subject is closed.
Well, looks like you're a little late.
The tall, pretty Yvonne enters the cafe on the arm of a German officer. She gives Rick a scornful smile.
So Yvonne's gone over to the enemy.
Who knows? In her own way, she may constitute an entire second front. Well, I think it's time for me to flatter Major Strasser a little. I'll see you later, Rick.
Sasha!
French 75.
Put up a whole row of them, Sasha. Starting here and ending here.
We will begin with two.
Écoutez, vous êtes pas français, vous, d'aller avec les Boches comme ça?
Quand vous mêlez-vous?
A French soldier snaps at Yvonne.
No. 1 minute.
The German officer grabs him.
What did you say? Would you kindly repeat it? What I said is none of your business.
I'll make it my business.
The two men smack each other's faces and wrestle. Rick shoves them apart.
I don't like disturbances in my place. Either lay off politics or get out.
Renault and Strasser watch from a nearby table.
You see, Captain? The situation is not as much under control as you believe.
My dear Major, we are trying to cooperate with your government, but we cannot regulate the feelings of our people.
Captain, are you entirely certain which side you're on?
I have no conviction, if that's what you mean. I blow with the wind. And the prevailing wind happens to be from Vichy.
And if it should change?
Well, surely the Reich doesn't admit that possibility.
We are concerned about more than Casablanca. We know that every French province in Africa is honeycombed with traitors, waiting for their chance, waiting perhaps for a leader.
A leader? Like Laszlo?
Mm-hmm. I have been thinking. It is too dangerous if you let him go. It may be too dangerous if you let him stay.
I see what you mean.
Carl pours brandy for an older, smiling couple.
Thank you,
Carl.
For your Frau Leuchttag.
Thank you, Carl.
And for your Leuchttag.
Carl, sit down. Have a brandy with us.
To celebrate our leaving for America tomorrow.
Oh, thank you very much. I thought you would ask me, so I brought the good brandy. And the third glass.
At last, the days came.
Well, Leuchttag and I are speaking nothing but English now.
So we should feel at home when we get to America.
A very nice idea.
To America.
To America.
To America.
They take long sips of brandy.
Liebchen, that was sweet and sad. What watch?
She checks the time.
10 watts. Such much?
You will get along beautifully in America.
How's Lady Luck treating you? Oh, too bad. We'll find him over there.
Renault points the young wife from the police station to Rick's table. She has a pretty oval face, dark eyes, and black hair.
Monsieur Rick?
Yes?
Could I speak to you for just a moment, please?
How'd you get in here? You're underage.
I came with Captain Renault.
I should have known.
My husband is with me, too.
He is? Well, Captain Renault's getting broad-minded. Sit down.
Thank you.
You have a drink? No, of course not. Do you mind if I do?
No. Monsieur Rick, What kind of a man is Captain Reno?
Oh, he's just like any other man, only more so.
No, I mean, is he trustworthy? Is his word?
Oh, just a minute. Who told you to ask me that?
He did. Captain Reno did.
I thought so. Where's your husband?
At the roulette table, trying to win enough for our exit visas. Oh, of course, he's losing.
How long have you been married?
8 weeks. We come from Bulgaria. Well, things are very bad there, monsieur. The devil has the people by the throat. So, Jan and I, we did not want our children to grow up in such a country.
And so you decided to go to America?
Yes, but we have not much money, and traveling is so expensive and difficult. It was much more than we thought to get here. And then Captain Renault sees us, and he is so kind, he wants to help us.
Yes, I'll bet.
He tells me he can give us an exit visa, but we have no money.
Does he know that?
Oh, yes.
And he's still willing to give you a visa?
Yes, monsieur.
And you want to know?
Will he keep his word?
He always has.
Oh.
She looks at him imploringly.
Monsieur, you are a man. If someone loved you very much, so that your happiness was the only thing that she wanted in the world, but she did a bad thing to make certain of it, could you forgive her?
Nobody ever loved me that much.
And he never knew. And the girl kept this bad thing locked in her heart. That would be all right, wouldn't it?
You want my advice?
Oh, yes, please.
Go back to Bulgaria.
Oh, but if you knew what it means to us to leave Europe, to get to America. Oh, but if Jan should find out. He is such a boy. In many ways, I am so much older than he is.
Yes, well, everybody in Casablanca has problems. Yours may work out. You'll excuse me.
Thank you, monsieur.
Rick leaves. The young woman's gaze droops. Rick checks the guest ledger with a scowl. He sees Victor and Ilsa entering.
Good evening. Good evening. You see, here we are again.
I take that as a great compliment to Sam. I suppose he means to you Paris of, well, happier days.
He does. Could we have a table close to him?
And as far away from Major Strasser as possible.
Well, the geography may be a little difficult to arrange. Paul, table 30.
Yes, sir. Right this way, if you please.
I'll have Sam play As Time Goes By. I believe that's your favorite tune.
Thank you.
Ilsa's face is strained and tense. Rick whispers in Sam's ear. Victor and Ilsa sit down. Ilsa squeezes her hands nervously. In the gambling room, Emil presides over the roulette table.
Marquons les jeux, mesdames et messieurs, les jeux sont faits, la partie continue. Mesdames et messieurs, marquons les jeux sont faits, marquons les jeux.
Rick enters, shoots a glance at Emil, and walks behind the young, square-jawed Jan, who bows his head dejectedly.
Do you wish to place another bet, sir?
No, I guess not.
Have you tried 22 tonight? I said 22.
Emil glances at Rick, then spins the wheel. Jan moves a small stack of chips onto square 22. The ball lands on 22. Reynaud frowns at Rick from another table. Jan collects a massive group of chips.
Leave it there.
Rick leans over his shoulder. Jan moves all of the chips onto square 22. At the doorway, Carl watches with a tickled grin.
Marquons les jeux. La partie continue. Marquons les jeux. Les jeux sont faits. Rien ne va plus.
Jan wins again.
22. Noir, pair et pas.
Cash it in and don't come back.
Another patron approaches Carl.
Philippe.
Are you sure this place is honest?
Honest as the day is long.
Rick sidles up to Emil.
Rien ne va plus.
How are we doing tonight?
Well, a couple of thousand less than I thought there would be.
He winks. Jan's wife stops Rick at the door.
Monsieur Rick.
She embraces him tightly and kisses his cheek.
Just a lucky guy.
He pulls her arms off his neck. She walks away, smiling.
May I get you a cup of coffee?
No, thanks, Carl.
Monsieur Rick.
The young couple approaches a peeved Captain
Renault.
Captain Renault, may I?
Not here, please.
Come to my office in the morning. We'll do everything business like.
We'll be there at 6. I'll be there at 10. I'm very happy for both of you. Still, it's very strange that you won. Well, maybe not so strange. I'll see you in the morning.
Thank you so much, Captain Renault.
At the bar, Carl whispers in Sasha's ear. The gangly mustache bartender whirls Rick around on his bar stool.
Check.
Boss, you've done a beautiful thing.
He kisses Rick's cheeks.
Why, you crazy Russian.
Embarrassed, Rick pushes him off. Carl beams at him and slides his drink away. Rick shoots him a dark look. Carl returns the bourbon. Renault approaches.
As I suspected, you're a rank sentimentalist.
Yeah, why?
Why do you interfere with my little romances?
Put it down as a gesture to love.
Well, I forgive you this time. But I'll be in tomorrow night with a breathtaking blonde. And it'll make me very happy if she loses.